Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
This episode is brought to you by Villain for Hire. Spice up your adventure stories with real-life trail villains. Whether it's El Guapo from Three Amigos blocking your way or Mr. Belding tearing down your campsite, you can work with your friends and family to overcome unexpected but saucy characters while out in the backcountry. Villain for Hire is your solution to uneventful adventures. Check them out at makelikeatreeandgetoutofhere.com. What's going on, B&B family? This is Derek, and with me today is the only man who still slurps his noodles from his ramen up through his nose and still thinks he's showing us something new, Carl Mandrioli. What's going on, my man?
I'm not sure how that relates to trail villains, but thanks.
You're the villain on my trail all the time.
I believe that.
I thought it was El Guapo, not El Guapo.
I think they said El Guapo in the movie, but...
Did they? You might be right.
Correct pronunciation, not so sure. Anyway, with me today is Derek Somerville. A man that believes that one tactic villains have is to wrap your calendars in aluminum so they can foil your plans.
Oh, man.
Yes.
That was decent.
Yeah.
Okay. That was decent.
Thank you. So we're talking about trail villains today, different than trail saboteurs. Trail saboteurs are people that are in your own group that sometimes try and sometimes inadvertently mess up your plans. We have plenty of those, as I bet a lot of you out there do as well. And these are different. What's different about trail villains versus that? What do you think?
Versus what? Real villains?
What do you? Versus what I just talked about, which is saboteurs.
Saboteurs and villains? I think villains are.
Thanks for joining the show, Derek.
Is it bedtime yet? No, trail villains to me are a little bit different because I think they're impacting. I think they're kind of, I don't know. I feel like they're kind of similar.
Did I surprise you with this question?
You kind of did, yeah. Because a saboteur.
They're not similar.
A saboteur to me is more inadvertent. Maybe he forgot this or that and is inconveniencing us slightly, right?
Okay, so I already defined saboteur. A villain. But go ahead and define it yourself.
I'm going to do it. You are just impossible to talk to. So the villains to me are more people that are like intentionally cruel. Maybe they're, going to intentionally try to ruin things for you and everybody around them. So,
yeah.
Intention,
or maybe they impede upon your progress and are unwilling to change or modify their behaviors in some way, right?
Maybe you can't rationalize with them as well if there is a problem.
Definitely could be that. So, we're going to talk about how to have a showdown, right? So, we're going to, what are the solutions? How do you not just avoid them or run away, but you actually face up to these villains and try to solve the problem that way?
Indeed.
Okay. So, Judges 16:6, Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." All right. That's so Delilah being the villain here in Judges in the Bible. So, how do you handle somebody that is trying to manipulate a situation in their favor, Derek?
I think now that I'm older, I think I just tend to call them out. I think I just try to shed truth on the situation and what they're really trying to do in a loving way. But if not, if that doesn't work, if they don't want to listen, then I think I try to distance myself.
Okay. So to Delilah, you would say, "Stop it. You're just trying to get my enemies to defeat me."
I'd say, "Nay, Delilah, look, here's the thing about Samson. Okay, I don't get this. It's like she already tied him up a couple times. Doesn't he get the clue that she's trying to figure something out? I mean, I kind
of
blame him.
Yeah, this is one of his weaknesses, is that he was easy to manipulate, right?
Yeah, way to go.
And we probably are easier than we care to admit.
That's fair.
Yeah, although we are getting old and crusty, so maybe...
Speak for yourself, but that's true on your end for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So we've got a list of villains, and so we're going to go through them and hear Derek's wisdom about how to handle them. I'll chime in as well, of course, and we'll have some ideas, and perhaps these ideas might be uncomfortable for you. Perhaps we're off base. Feel free to reach back out and share your experiences. Or maybe we miss some villains, too. Certainly, it's not a comprehensive list. This is just what we were able to come up with.
You mean we're not the end-all, be-all of villain knowledge?
Thankfully not.
Yeah.
Thankfully not.
Okay.
So, all right, you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Dude, let's jump into this, man. Okay. All right, so, Derek, which one do you want to go with first?
Let's go with the horseback riders and pack animal people.
Okay, yeah. So, these are pretty common to the trail. First of all, let me ask you, does it bother you that they're kind of like leaving poop on the trail for you that you got to walk either around or sometimes in? Does that bother you?
No, I can handle that.
You like walking in horse poop?
I didn't say that. This is what you do and I love it. Not really. Okay. No, I just walk around. I mean, it's fertilizer for nature as well. So yeah.
I think you're adequately expressing the perspective of the pack people, because I think that's what they would say.
I feel like we're in there kind of territory anyway.
Yeah. This is not why they're villains, but I personally don't like walking in horse poop.
I think you're a little more fragile. I think you can't handle the smell. And maybe I'll put some in your pack or use it as kindling one day. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't have the same poop passion that you do, so there's that. But the reason why these are trail villains is because I've seen, not just myself, but a lot of people have verbal battles with horseback people, and they just get upset in general at people that they feel are impeding their progress. So,
yeah.
Full disclosure, they do have the right of way on the trail.
The horses.
They do. Yeah. I mean, unless there's special circumstances or trails are not supposed to be on,
correct,
which doesn't typically happen, they have the right of way. So we should all be yielding to them.
Indeed.
Yeah. But that does not always quench their anger. So, for example, I've come around corners where I didn't know there were horses, and I came up on the horses behind them, and then once I saw them, I pulled off to the side of the trail, and I've gotten yelled at.
Really?
Yeah. That's happened before.
Wow.
You don't get off the trail fast enough or with enough distance if you're approaching them. I've seen people get yelled at. I've seen people rant about it on social media. There's a lot of anger from them. I've seen people just say straight up, like, my horse is skittish, so you need to be careful around my horse because we don't know. Like, it could throw me off, which... Like that's scary.
I mean, that's true.
Horse. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to spook a horse.
Right. Definitely.
Well, so. Especially if you're going on the trail and there's like a sharp edge or a steep cliff or something. Mm-hmm. That's no joke.
Right.
Or a briar patch, as you know.
Yeah. So that's the villain scenario. So how do you handle that? So you're getting yelled at by horseback people.
I'm already getting yelled at by horseback people.
Yeah, for something maybe you're trying to give way, you're yielding, but either you're not doing so soon enough, you came around a corner, you surprised them, maybe they have a skittish horse and they're upset. Either way, they're yelling at you.
Again, adhere to what I was saying before. I think I try to be nice and be like, you know what, my bad, no need to yell. I'm going to get off the trail for you. I'm backing up. Mm-hmm. Calm it down.
Right. You know? And so you do that.
Yeah.
Well done. You are a man of peace. And then they turn around the next corner. Next person does that. They yell again. You've not solved the problem.
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah.
There's
I'm just saying that they encounter somebody else and they're still going to be the angry person.
Mm.
Right?
I mean,
we need to solve the problem here. We need to not slink away from these trail villains here.
I mean, they're yelling at somebody else though, right?
Yeah.
Am I just going to go battle every guy on the horse?
No, I'm just saying that you haven't solved the problem. Like, they're going to continue to yell at people. And so the way that you're handling that is not solving their anger
issues. Maybe just start singing and dancing. Put on a little show for the horse.
Or moving quickly around on the trail.
This is just another reason to wear an apple necklace is because horses love apples.
Okay.
So you could feed the horse.
So feed the horse.
Pet the horse.
Right.
And be on your merry way.
And just say all hikers aren't as aggressive as
exactly. Okay. Right, exactly. And if you love their animal, they're going to love you. That's my theory.
Right.
Okay.
Fair enough. All right. I'm going to say incorrect on that one. This is not trivia.
Always a great.
Okay. This is not trivia, but I don't think that solves the problem. I think that you need to communicate to them in a firm but fair way and say, you know what? Like, this is what I did when I surprised the horseback riders. Mm. I pointed to the trail. I said, I just came around the corner. I didn't know you were here. When I saw you, I jumped off the trail. And when I didn't yell, I wasn't angry, but I was very firm with what I said.
Uh-huh.
And they backed off immediately.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, if you or your horse is going to be this skittish on a very busy trail, perhaps this is not
the trail. You went like full old man grumpy, like let me let you
not
have
grumpy
it.
more like a scoldy.
Scoldy.
But not in a mean or threatening voice, in a very firm informative voice.
Informative voice. Got it. Okay.
And so and they totally backed off. And I've had other encounters as well where they get unreasonably mad. And I used to volunteer as a park patroller in a nearby wilderness area, and even the volunteers, some were like, you know, hikers, runners, and you had the horseback people, and they, some of them like came in, they're like, they're volunteers, they're trying to help patrol the trails, and they came in angry at people. And so, yeah, you just have to, you know, help by informing them.
I like that.
In a calm but firm manner.
Calm and firm, guys.
Can you do that?
Calm and firm.
Can you do that, Derek?
I can do that.
Okay.
I think I'm calm and firm with you every episode. So
yeah. I guarantee you, we go backpacking a lot. If you're going to have these face-off, these encounters, they're going to be there.
I try to do it like I suggested before, where I'm direct but nice. But that, I think there is, if they push you and if they're unnecessary, then that's probably where I'm going to say more of what you're saying. As far as like, this is I just got off the trail, like, you know, doing the best I can here.
And it's not just horse people. Like I've had encounters with llama people on the trail.
Oh,
where
the llamas.
They expect. Yeah. I mean, there's no rules with llamas specifically, at least not at the trailhead. And they're like, "How come you didn't do such and such when you saw the llama?" And I was like, do you expect people to understand how to behave around llamas, even though we rarely see them on the trail? Like, they're just, their sort of expectations are not really reasonable. In a calm but firm manner.
Yeah.
No finger shaking. That's how it went down.
No finger shaking.
Yeah, so I'm not shy. I feel like I know my trail rules.
You don't like to be challenged with rules either, so that's not going to go well for them, I think, in general. So llamas beware.
Yeah. Llamas and horses.
Okay, llamas and horses.
Actually, the horse is nice as the people. Yeah.
That's true.
Okay. So in the same vein, let's go with the next one. Let's go with the mountain bikers.
Okay.
I think that these are the worst.
These are dangerous, too.
Yeah. And a lot of backpacking trails don't have mountain bikers, or hiking trails don't have mountain bikers.
But you do in Colorado.
In Colorado, there are some trails that are designated like mountain bike only, or, you know, on foot only, but there's not enough of those. And so you have to share the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And me being a mountain biker myself, like, I feel like I can more confidently speak to this. I would say about half the mountain bikers are super courteous. They're super nice. And they understand that they're actually supposed to yield to both the horseback people and the people on foot.
Ooh, okay.
Have you encountered a mountain biker that's not done that?
I have not. I haven't encountered many. Maybe a few, but no, I have not encountered that.
Okay, so here's what they do: is they will like run you down off the trail, like you better.
We talked about this,
a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah, and we talked about like how I think I yelled at one time, and that was not the way that I was just describing how I talked to the horseback people.
That was the complete opposite.
So you have a mountain biker charging at you.
Yeah,
they're supposed to yield to you. You're on foot, and they're not yielding, my friend. Villain face off. What do?
I don't think there's much of a choice here. If you have a bike barreling down,
lots
at you,
of choices.
You could throw something at him and make him crash.
Correct.
We had this happen after one of our trips. Remember the guy? Get out of the way.
That was on the road though. That was
on a road.
Yeah,
but he's still barreling down.
Yeah. Road bikers are a whole different story. Yeah.
That's probably true. I'd say. You could throw something at him. You could yell at him.
Yep.
You could just...
Clothesline.
You could throw your pack at them and try to knock them off. Could squirt them with water. That's always a plus. That's a highly recommended option.
If you had the squeezy bottle, that's actually not a bad idea.
Or as they drive by in their fury and anger of road rage, you could say, "Jesus loves you."
Oh,
and then
gosh.
And you could go that route.
Going the wrong direction, I think.
That might be annoying for everybody.
Okay.
But I mean, it's hard because sometimes they're probably going really fast, I'm imagining, right? So you don't have a lot of time to, are you going to like try to get them to slow down and have a conversation with them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Well, I'm going to, full disclosure.
Okay,
What I'm going to discuss here, I have not actually done.
Okay. Like, did you stand in the middle of the trail and like hold your hands and be like, whoa, we need to talk about this.
Now you are speaking my language.
Okay. This is more your speed. Okay.
I'm going to run this idea by you because I haven't done this yet.
Okay.
But this is like a problem that I encounter, I would say, weekly basis for sure.
Mm.
Sometimes multiple times in the same, like, you know, hike or run.
Okay.
Okay. So at the trailhead, they have these signs that have like the yield to signs, right? It's like this little triangle, and like the mountain bikers have to yield to the horses and the hikers, like I just said.
Right.
You take a picture.
Okay.
With your phone.
Got it.
Phone's handy.
Got it.
Mountain biker's coming.
Stop him.
And then like what you said, the whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't actually say anything to them. You just say, can I just, can I show you a picture? And you pull out your phone and you point to it.
If that's not passive aggressive, I don't know what is.
That's aggressive because you're stopping them.
You're right. It is.
Now, you're not verbally aggressive, I suppose, and then, unless you say afterwards, like, got any questions?
They're just going to be angry at you.
That's not solving the problem, though, right?
It's not. Okay. No, that's going to escalate.
Yeah. Okay, so how would you handle it differently?
I think that I don't know how to handle it. I think I just let them go, okay, which is not going to solve it either. But it's like, right, if people want to be rude, they're going to be rude, which is so sad. How do you up that 50% of nice bikers to like a higher number? I think you got to pay it forward, Carl. You got to try to be nice. I don't know how you be nice in like a split second when they're zooming by.
I can tell you the passive aggressive way.
I'm sure you can. You're an expert.
Is that you don't yield to them. Like you take up a little bit, you know, like you take up your fair share of space on the trail. Mm-hmm. And so they've got to work their way around you.
Yeah.
You can even go so far as to like stop and like, you know, cringe or flinch, or you like to go fetal position then just like over exaggerate your fear for what they're about to do.
I thought you were going to say like, I like to build a couple of cairns of rocks on the trail and just see what they're going to do with those in the middle of the trail.
Like really quickly just pile rocks.
Yeah, it's like pop, 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 there you go. Or just throw all of your stuff down on the trail.
Oh my.
You know, I don't know.
Okay. I think realistically though, what I've done in the past, not so much when they're like barreling down at you, but a lot of them like to come up behind you and then they just like, you can hear them like breathing heavily, lurking behind you and they don't say anything. I just get to the side of the trail and I just communicate like, hey, you're supposed to say on your left. Like just communicate, let us know. Uh-huh. And I try to say it in a nice way.
But, is the most scary when you're going downhill and they come behind you, I would imagine? Because they're going faster?
I think what's scary is when you turn a corner and they're coming at you. So
yeah, I could see that. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. That's probably the hardest one.
That is a hard one.
I don't know that we came up with a good answer for that one, but if you try any of those, maybe not the ones that are aggressive where you're throwing stuff at them, but let us know how that goes.
Yeah, good luck.
All right, what you get next?
Let's go with the dog off the leash.
Mm.
Poo bag, people. Oh,
that's like double.
Double
that's
whammy.
Like a double whammy, right.
Yeah, I've seen this in my area as well.
Okay, I might be the villain, the dog off the leash villain.
You might be the dog off the leash.
I might be. Okay. Well, not like all the time, just if I feel like we're in a really remote area and there's nobody else around.
Okay. So I get that. You're going to let the dog off the leash. Let the dog run around. You don't see anybody nearby, but then what, like, me, Rando, Mr. Rando, like, shows up, and then what?
That's more the issue. Like, so the dog's going to follow along on the trail. They're going to hike, and they're going to stay next to our family.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's when the other person comes, or if the other person has a dog, then my dog's going to be excited to see them, and that's, we don't know if the other person's going to be as excited to see the dog, right?
Right,
so
right.
We're impeding on their, you know, their time on the trail, which is not fair.
True.
Okay.
But I mean, this is the nature of the beast, right? You can let your dog have a little freedom if you don't see him. Like that's probably never going to change. Like if you're on a trail and there's nobody around, you're probably going to let your dog roam a little bit, right?
Yeah. I mean, if it feels like it's a remote trail, like if I know it's a busy trail, that would not be appropriate.
Have you encountered somebody with their dog off the leash and they're really angry or annoying about it?
I've been with somebody who tried to correct them and say, and I don't know that they handled it, where they said, leash your dog, please.
Ooh.
And then they got some feedback on that one.
I'll bet they did.
But their dogs were in the way, like straight up in the way. And then I've had a lot of encounters where I'm out for a run.
Okay.
And the dog is kind of staying with the person, but then like, we'll kind of bound a little bit into my legs.
Huh.
And so, you know, kind of like taking your, like the risk is that I could have a serious fall on the trail.
Okay.
And so, and they'll say, they're usually really polite. They'll say sorry, but that if I get hurt, that
doesn't change anything.
Yeah, it doesn't mean much.
Right.
So there's that. So the dog off the leash person, kind of going back to the park patroller thing, I was actually responsible for telling people to leash their dogs, and I carried leashes with me so that they could have a leash if they didn't have one.
Carried leashes, like port, like?
These small ones, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, would they ever take the leash?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh.
And then what happened was rangers would then manage those same trails, and if they told the person to leash their dog and that person pulled out one of those like freebie giveaway ones, then the ranger knew that they'd already been warned about that and might ticket them.
Oh, that's good, actually. That's a good little marking system.
But those were trails I wouldn't ever go leashless on. So
that's probably smart, yeah.
So how do you have a showdown with a leashless dog owner? What do you do?
And I have a dog or I have no dog?
No dog.
I have no dog.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the dog. Like if I see them approaching me, and I see that the dog's like, you know, staying with the group, and he's not like going crazy, I think I'm just respectful. I say hello, mm-hmm. good job, Well played.
you say to the owner, well played.
nice pooch. We'll see you tomorrow. The dog's like all over the place and he's coming up to me, he's sniffing me, he's like, you know, he's like getting in the way of everything, I'd say, I don't know. That's it's like, I feel like when in these moments where I'm not, because I don't really encounter this. So like if I did, I know it's going to be like a blue moon scenario. Whereas like in your world, it's probably like a regular scenario. So I got to put myself in your shoes.
This is not a blue, like this could happen on a backpacking trip.
How many times in 15 years have we seen this?
Happen when we, actually we had a ranger with the dog off the leash, right?
Okay, so one time.
This is just in the last year. You're going to go cycle through all
of
them?
You want
to
go cycle through all of them? Like, yeah. I could probably count them on one hand or less. We had llama lady, we had horse people, horse caravan.
Yeah.
Maybe a dog person. So it doesn't happen that often, but I feel like unless the animal's doing something crazy, then I think I just bite my tongue and like let him pass or whatever. But
all right,
maybe I'm nicer than you.
So your definition of a showdown is to turn away and run to
run the other direction. I love how you just make up an answer that has nothing to do with what I said.
It is. You said you turn away and you go the other direction.
No, I said let them go by. Yeah. Let them go their way. I'll go mine. If we're going the same direction, I might say like on your right, on your left, and then try to get around them.
Okay.
See if they yield.
You're going to race them. You're going to race them.
I'm going to race them. Okay. I'm going to race the dog. If the dog starts walking with me, then I assume that that's my dog now, and then I'm going to take the dog, leash him, and continue on my way. Would you offer the dog? Here's what I do. I'd offer the dog a treat. I'd be like, "Here, here's a little doggy biscuit." They're gonna be like, "Whoa, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, you got your dog out here, no leash. I guess it's like just whatever." And then I'm gonna whip out the tennis ball that I kept in my pocket and throw it and let the dog run away.
I love that you're gonna leash the dog. It's my dog now.
Snooze, you lose.
That's your best answer so far. Okay. All right. I feel like there's two answers because the poop person is not always the same person.
See, now I got a problem with the poop. I got a problem with the poop.
Okay, so you can't, let's be honest, you can't do much about the poop person if you just come across the bag by itself. We don't know, we're not doing like DNA evidence on which dog's poop that is, right?
True.
So the scenario I think is more like you see from a distance that they're dropping the bag.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up and go hand it to them and be like, oh, hey, you dropped this.
Really? You're going
to
hand it?
I would do that. Yeah, okay. I would do that. Be like, hey, you dropped this. They're like, oh, no. I'm like, oh, yeah. You can't leave your poopy plastic bag on the trail.
And then their response would be like, oh, we're coming back the same way. We're going to grab that on the way out.
And be like, okay, I'll follow you. I'll make sure you do.
No.
I would do it.
I would, if you're going to be that aggressive, I think you'd just say.
No, I wouldn't do that.
We both know you're not doing that. We see poop bags on the trail all the time, and it's probably from you. You are responsible for all the poop bags we've ever seen.
That's a lot of poop. Yeah. I would say, I mean, what's the rule on the trail about poop bags? You have to. So
yeah,
let them
pack
poop,
it out.
Pack it up and pack it out, right?
And getting back to the leash thing, too, that's a law. Unless it's a specific dog off-leash area, you have to leash your dogs.
Yeah.
So these are like rules slash laws that people
do you are breaking. Do you throw out the old, like, I'm going to take a picture of this, or, hey, I'm going to, like, hopefully the ranger doesn't say anything when you get back about, you know, leaving your poo bag on the trail.
So
you're going to, like, passively aggressively tell them you're going to tattle on them?
This sounds like you want to make a citizen's arrest.
Tempting over poop. Yeah. But no, I think I'm going to approach him. I'm going to try to be direct.
Okay.
And be like, look, it's a law. You really don't want to leave this on the trail. This is why.
Passive aggressive way to do this would be you grab the bag and you show them and say, oh, did you want me to pack this out for you?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. That'd
like
be
that
good. Or just be like, hey, do you want me to like put this in your backpack for you? Like I can top pouch?
Right.
Yeah.
Next to your wag bag there.
Oh, you got a wag bag. You want me to throw that in the wag bag?
Just pile it on top of each other.
Yeah, people and poop. Yeah, and you know how much we talk about poop and pee, but like that's just like unnecessary. Leave it on the trail.
All right.
Anything else about the poop?
No, and I don't know that we solve this problem with the dog off leash people. I think for me, in terms of, you know, trying to have a showdown, is because I've had practices, I would be happy to communicate and say, yeah, can you please leash your dog?
And pack the poop.
Yeah, and a lot of times they get pretty defensive and they say, oh, I'm so sorry, like my dog never runs into people's legs as they're running by or walking by. And so, yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's just the law, and it just makes trail usage easier, even if they do it one time's too many. So,
or you could just be like, hey, there's a dog park where you can let them off the leash.
That we were actually trained to do that. We were trained to say that too. So there you go.
Give them options. You know, give them
options. Okay. Yeah, okay. Next one I got is the guy or girl coming down the trail. The music man / music woman. They are blaring. Okay. Then maybe they have like a Bluetooth speaker with them, so it's not just their phone.
And it's like attached to their like little belt or chest strap or
wherever.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of like the extension of the person who drives around and blares the music. They're like, we need everybody to hear the music that we like to listen to. It's important for us.
Okay.
So this is that version on the trail.
That's true. And let's say, am I walking by them or am I walking the same direction as them?
So if you're going in the opposite direction, really they're just a nuisance for what, like a minute? So it's not that big a deal.
Bad song.
Let's
say
that you're going the same direction and at a similar pace.
Oh, that'd be tough. I mean, if it's a good song, I think I can tough it out. But if it's, you know, I think this has happened also on a golf course. The people like to do this now where they bring the boom boxes and they play golf in a game that's like not really supposed to have that happen. So
a lot of times backpacking gets compared to golf.
It does. A lot of holes out there and a lot of dog poop. So anyway, I think if I was on that situation, I think if I'm ahead of them, I might even just stop and let them go by me. But I don't know. It's like I've had music on the trail. It's hard to just be like turn around and be like, hey, do you mind turning that down a little bit until we're like a little bit further apart? I mean, I might do that if it was just like egregiously loud and absurd.
Well,
I would
that's
do
what
that.
It is. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I would maybe say, hey, do you mind turning that down just a little bit until we're maybe like further apart or something?
Okay.
And you can go ahead of me. Or maybe I'll just run for a little bit and get out of them. I don't know.
I always feel like these types of people too, it's like you can wait, they get to go ahead, and then you know you kind of create this gap, but then you end up kind of catching up to them because they stop to rest, or they stop, and then they're like, I'll just hike next to you guys again.
Oh, I'm done resting as soon as you walk by, and I'll turn my music
that
up.
That happens all the time. Like,
yeah,
you'd be surprised, especially if they feel like they're going faster than you, then they don't want to lose the lead, so to speak.
It's like a subconscious ego
it
thing.
Is. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I believe that.
100%.
That I believe.
Yeah, that happens on the trail all the time, actually. It happens when I'm running, where if I pass somebody on the trail, they work so hard to pass me back.
I feel like I might give them the benefit of the doubt the first time. Be like, let's see if they catch the hint. Like, ooh, you see me looking at you. Do you turn it down? And then if they keep going a little bit, then maybe I say something.
Yeah.
With that word. So.
Okay. What do you say?
I say, hey, do you mind, you know, turn it down just a little bit?
Okay.
Till we're
just a little bit. Gotcha.
Just a snicket.
You know? I think if you apply one of your solutions to a previous villain, I think this might be better.
Mm.
The whole squirting the water thing. Remember that?
Squirting the water thing.
What if you squirt the speaker and just kind of short it out?
That's going to cause a big issue of trail rage.
Yes.
And you seem to like picking fights lately with the bikers.
You want to throw stuff at bikers. You're telling me I'm picking fights?
I'm not going to do it. You're the one that stopped the guy and was like haggling him. And I believe you used the word scolding. Voice. So pot kettle black.
I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna squirt the speaker.
That we know of.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What if you just said you had a leaky camelback and then
you just pour on it?
Pour it. Like,
whoops. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna do this. I think my answer is similar to yours. I'm gonna do the exact same thing you're gonna do. So I'm gonna give you a thumbs up on that one.
Ooh, good. Let's talk about the ranger giving you information on the trail.
Okay.
So you're on the trail, you're out there, and you've seen you're out there and you encounter the ranger, like we've encountered the llama ranger or the horse ranger, whatever. And they're going to tell you like what's up ahead and what you need to be doing. What's the situation where it's because we've gotten, how much of the information from rangers has been accurate, would you say, career on the trail?
I want to differentiate this because
You're talking about from like the trail, from like the
no, this is, no, you're right, you had
the ranger
right.
office,
you had it right, it's on the trail.
Okay,
so that's different than when we go to the ranger office.
The ranger office is,
I would say, the ranger office is about 90% inaccurate. Okay,
I would agree with that.
90%, maybe, maybe 100%,
because they never get out there.
Or just their information is accurate like 3 weeks ago, right?
Right.
So the rangers on the trail, they are more like 50%. From our experience, right? So, for example, you like to talk about llama rangers. We can talk about that. So the llama ranger was trying to help us find a backcountry spot because we were headed in the wrong direction. This is a long time ago, by the way. And so the llama ranger was like, I think there's an extra spot at such and such backcountry camp spot. And she was correct, and so we were good to go.
Yeah.
Okay? So that was super helpful. Mm-hmm. And then we had another ranger that was in, say, Glacier National Park, who said, be really careful in this area coming down the pass because there's a snow bridge that might give way.
Right.
And of course, there was zero snow anywhere near there. So
exactly.
That didn't really matter, though. We just were like trying to mentally prepare to be careful.
I think you just have to take ranger info with a grain of salt.
Right.
And see, like, I mean, that's one of those skills I think you develop over time, is like, can I discern if this ranger knows what they're talking about in the few minutes I'm talking to them or not?
So I think a couple questions you want to ask is, can I believe you? And then, can I trust you? Which are kind of two similar, but not quite the same things.
No, yeah, you're right. I think trusting the ranger's input is an acquired skill.
Yeah.
Would you say?
And then if you sense that they're giving you old information or it's just simply false information, is it fair to say, I don't believe you for 1 second?
Well, you don't want to get black flagged like Carl, so I'm going to say avoid that. But I think it's, you know, when they're giving you information, I think it's one of those things where you have to determine, like, do I really want to, like, take this lightly? I think there's those rangers we talked about this before where, like, they like to be that person that's like, let me just tell you what's going on in here. I know everything about the trail and everything about it. Like, even if it's 100% inaccurate, they like to be that person that, like, helps everybody out, even if it's not good information. And I think if you're...
This is interesting characterization of rangers here.
Yeah, well, some of them do, though. They have that, like, ego thing, and they like to be, like, the know-it-all. And I think that if you are a newer backpacker...
That's not just rangers. That's anybody, right?
Well, that can be a lot of people, but especially rangers. If you are out there and you're a newbie, then you're more prone to, like, take any information, and a lot of time it's not good information. So. Yeah.
So you are now aware...
Take a grain.
Take it with a grain of salt, your solution.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing. Because you're going to get it, and you don't want to, like, stir the pot with them because you don't want to get black flag like Carl. You don't think so?
I like stirring the pot.
You do. That's what I mean. You like stirring the pot. Sometimes less is more.
I like what you're saying there. I think I'm comfortable enough around rangers. I've had a lot of positive interactions with them. I know that we kind of poke fun at that a little bit, but I'm happy to ask them, when, like, is this an whatever intel they're giving me, did you go there? Or is this personal experience, or is this kind of hearsay? And then if you did go there, how long ago, or how long did you get this information? And then I can kind of gauge it from that. And so if it's something that we're like, yeah, I was just there yesterday and this and this, I would likely believe what they were saying.
Yeah.
But if they're like, well, typically this time of year, blah, blah, blah happens. I'd say, okay,
right.
Well, is this a typical year? Is this like a hotter year, colder year? Then maybe we should be more careful or less careful based upon your intel. So
that's a good point. Like if they're generalizing and they're not specific, that's something to be aware of too.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I don't mind challenging them a little bit in a respectful way for sure.
Okay.
All right, I got one more.
What do we got?
Okay. And I feel like I need to explain this one because otherwise we could offend some folks out there.
Oh yeah.
We talked about this a little bit last season, the Boy Scout Brigade that invades your remote backcountry camp spot. Okay.
Yeah.
Now this is not just Boy Scouts in general.
Right.
All right, because, you know, there's a lot of awesome Boy Scout troops out there, and we have some troop leaders that are actually fellow adventurers that listen to our podcast that we really appreciate. So likely this is not who we're talking about. We're talking about where you've set up camp, you were there first, and then suddenly you have an army of Boy Scouts in your midst, okay? Maybe not like directly in your camp, but near you, and they're just having a good time.
Right.
And they're just there to, you know, they're not there to intentionally wreck your experience,
right?
But they've become trail villains because now they've kind of just taken over inadvertently.
Right.
So how do you handle that?
Not fun. I think we talked about this with somebody on the podcast.
Yeah, this is kind of like a milder version of that.
Okay, so I think the thing is, like, you know, I've never been a Boy Scout leader, but I imagine, like, if they find a good spot, regardless, they're going to be like, this is good enough. But at the expense
of
whoever's
already
there.
They're usually more planned than that. They usually have to.
You would think so.
Yeah.
You would think so. But I think you would, if you, like, I'm trying to imagine that, like, you were there with, like, your small group or by yourself or with maybe one other person, and then you have this big group come. I would immediately, before they start unpacking, doing all the things, like, just approach them and be like, hey, do you guys mind trying to find a different spot? Like, I just was trying to get away from everything and just try to have some peace and quiet. And, you know, all due respect, it would be kind of distracting if you guys stayed here with your big group. You mind trying to find something else? So I think I would immediately take that approach before they start unpacking and settling in, because then it's going to be really tough.
I think you hit the nail on the head actually with that one. And the key is before they settle in. So the scenario we talked about last time was that person had left camp and then they came back and then they were all settled in.
Right.
And then they had kind of an abrasive leader who was just like, kind of too bad, you know, I don't care that your stuff's getting wrecked.
Right.
No, we're not kind of going to that extent. We're just talking about, like, they've arrived and they're just like they're probably tired, right? They want to set up camp. Maybe they planned on this campsite all along. Maybe it happens to be an area where you can pick your own spot and you've already set up. I think, yeah, you have the conversation with the troop leader. You definitely don't scold, you know, the boys. And
right.
Sometimes there's moms. Sometimes moms are involved in these backcountry trips.
Ooh.
Have you had that before?
No.
Okay. I don't know if it's they can't get enough of the dads to go, and so they're just like, we just need an adult. And so the moms are there. And, moms are stepping up when the dads aren't able to.
Yeah.
So whoever it is, just having a polite conversation to just say, you guys need your own remote area yourself because you guys are going to have a lot of fun and...
So what do you say if they're like, You know what? No, I think we're going to stay here. This is a good spot. The guys are getting tired. Like, we got to pack it in for tonight.
Then you say, well, you better hang your food good because we're coming after it.
I hear them bears around these parts, boy. Yeah. Yeah.
If they do that, then you've done what you can. And if it depends upon how the conversation goes. But if it's
right.
If it's not going so well, I think you just kind of make note of the troop and then kind of follow up with the conversation afterwards just so that they don't continue to have these experiences where they're wrecking other people's backcountry spots, right?
True.
Yeah, if you're really that kind of person.
Would you tough it out? Would you leave the camp spot?
Yeah, I think at that point you just have to say, all right, like if this is really spoiling our time, let's leave.
Yeah, you got to gauge it.
Yeah. And just to be clear here, we are that group. Like, our group is the loud, obnoxious, we're going to wreck your experience. And so we're very mindful of that, and we try not to camp near anybody because we don't want to do that.
But we've had people come up and camp near us, and we warn them, like, hey, FYI, we get really loud, we play games, and at least warn them. But
right.
I think, yeah, self-awareness.
Self-awareness. And sometimes there's one time when we actually camped, and we thought we were, like, remote, alone. And then we had, I guess there was a group that was either not too far away or they were just at least close enough where they could hear us. And so they started mocking us with our cheers and sounds and this and that. But they never actually approached us. We just kind of...
No. Maybe they were just passively, aggressively, you know, coping in their own way.
Right. I think most people are entertained by our group. But if you want like a peaceful kind of solitude experience, I think you got to do what you got to do. But I talked about kind of following up and like contacting the troop afterwards. That's going next level.
Ooh.
Are you kind of that person or no?
No, I'm not going to go that.
So if you have like a bad experience at a store, I don't know, clerk offends you, are you talking to the manager or you're just like, whatever?
I've gone to the manager before. Yeah, okay. I've gone to that level. Like if I feel like the employee's being, if they're just not knowledgeable, I'll just be like, ugh, whatever.
Yeah, right.
But if they're like overly rude or intentionally unnecessary, then I'll talk to the manager or bring them in. Okay. I mean, I've done that quite a few times too. When you're trying to like cancel a TV subscription or cell phone or credit card people, I will frequently talk to the manager about things because they can get just rude.
Okay.
Which is, even if the call's being recorded, which is kind of interesting.
I can think of an experience where you came across an employee who was not very knowledgeable and you stuck it out.
Okay.
REI guy who told you that was just a day pack. And you're like, no. This is a real backpack. And you...
Here we go with the REI.
And now you visit him frequently. And
do like, I? A couple times a year?
Yeah.
Is that frequent?
For you.
He knows his stuff. Don't get me wrong. He knows his stuff.
Okay.
And
apparently not if you use your day pack as a backpack.
But I was up for... technically it's classified as a day pack, according to the company and him. So I was up for the challenge of expanding that flexibility of that pack, which I did. So, okay. And I still use it.
Yeah. And we still have to have that guy on our show. So I do all the booking for all of our guests. Can you just step up like one time? Just one time.
Just give him a card and be like,
give him a card and
we'd
say,
love to have you on the show.
Yeah.
I'll tell him about the scenario. I'm sure he'll be a good sport about it.
Yeah. We can ask him other questions too if he's that much of an expert.
We could.
Okay. So that's not going to happen, folks. I'm so sorry. Derek's not going to fall through that.
Carl is what you call a pessimist, folks. And he'll call himself a realist, as all pessimists do. And we'll move on.
Making note, so we are now in December, and Derek makes promises. We'll see what happens.
I didn't promise anything.
Do you want me to cite all the things that have happened on this podcast that you did not follow through on?
We don't have to go down that road.
Okay.
We don't do that.
Was there at least one takeaway for folks in there as far as how to handle all these trail villains? Hopefully so.
I hope so. I think it's
okay.
It's up to them.
It's up to them. Yeah, for sure. All right. So I actually kind of changing gears here is I got sent something from Gobi Heat. Do you remember that company?
Vaguely.
They were the one that had the heated chair.
Like
the camp chair.
I
came across them at the Outdoor Retailer Show back in August, and we had one of their guys on for a quick interview. He was the guy who was talking about how one of his buddies like tried to put coals under the chair to warm up his bottom.
Yeah.
And so now they have the heated chair. So for having him on, they sent us, whatever you want to call it, a heated jacket called like the Wolf Jacket.
I haven't tried it yet.
No.
Interesting.
But do you know, understand the concept though, is that it's like a battery operated jacket that has these like heat spots to keep you warm.
Okay.
So in return, I'm going to review it real quick.
Okay.
But before I do, would you be interested in wearing a heated jacket? Maybe not on a backpacking trip, but maybe like a camping trip or...
Yeah, a camping trip maybe.
Sporting event. Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think this is not for backpacking. This could be for car camping. And I know a lot of folks car camping.
What about like a nice walk out at night on the, by the beach?
For sure.
Okay.
Sure. So the way that it works is you have this like external battery, kind of similar to, you know, like a chargeable battery pack that you might bring on a trip.
Okay.
And you plug it in, charges it up.
Okay.
It literally has a plug-in for the jacket, and you kind of put it in this pocket, and then these little spots heat up, and it heats you right up. So
okay.
It kind of works as advertised.
Mm-hmm.
Charging time wasn't that long to charge the battery. Like the fit and the feel, awesome. Warmth and comfort, awesome. A+ there.
Okay.
Ease of use to charge it and plug it in, like no problems.
Okay, so how long does the battery usually last on the jacket? Like that's the big question.
For sure. So it lasts like 9 to 10 hours, we'll say.
That's pretty
good.
So
if you're camping, that's going to be a couple nights worth, and then you can recharge if you have.
And I think you told me there's like different settings on it, right? So there's like, is there like a low, medium, high?
Yeah, they get the low, medium, high for sure.
Okay.
So typically if you're wanting to wear a heated jacket, you're probably wearing it on high to start with, right? And then,
then
you can back off from there.
Okay.
Yeah. So overall, like thumbs up, definitely good for camping, good for, you know, going to sporting events outside, that kind of thing.
Right.
I do have some nitpicks.
Oh.
Okay, actually, just got one.
One.
So, you know, like on the chest area where they have the logo of most, you know, company stuff?
Sure.
When your jacket's on, there's like these bars that light
up. Bars that light up?
Yeah, so you know that it's on. So huh. That part's cool, but do you want to walk around like drawing attention to your chest about, you know, hey guys, I'm wearing a heated jacket.
Look at me. I mean, I kind of would think that was kind of, yeah. That'd be kind of fun though. Like I'm at a dance.
Yeah, some people might like that.
Like
so
a dance party
yeah.
or something?
My wife did not like that. She was like, I don't want that.
Okay.
And well. So, yeah. So I would say that this is probably best for like, you know, campers. Like I mentioned, outdoor events or people that live in really cold climates like Alaska or Canada, like
yeah,
those types of
okay.
places. Yeah. So I'm going to give it a 4.5 flashlight out of 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
4.5.
Yeah, 4.5.
I like that.
Yeah, because I think the nitpick is just kind of a small nitpick.
It's a preference.
Yeah. So short-term use so far, a thumbs up so far.
I like it.
Thank you, Gobi Heat, for sending it to us.
There you go.
And you got trivia this week, right?
I got trivia. Are you ready? We have villain trivia.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Coming
here we
up
go.
Right after this.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
All right, so I got 5 trivia questions for you. I'm going to give you a hint. You're going to tell me if you can remember who this famous villain is.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Are these reasonable?
These are all reasonable.
Okay.
First one might be one of the hard ones. It depends on what you know. Okay, number one. Who is Timothy Treadwell, and what villain did he encounter?
Hmm. And you said you had a
this
hint,
is the
right?
most. This is the most outdoorsy-ish backpacking one of the bunch.
Okay.
Very famous person.
Is it? Do I get the hint on this one, or just not for the easier ones?
Well, I'm telling
you.
Oh,
that was the hint.
I'm telling you the person's. Yeah. Okay. Who is Timothy Treadwell?
Was that? I want to say he's like. Is that the bear person? The bear guy.
What do they call the bear guy?
The bear whisperer. yeah, the bear whisperer, and the villain would be the bears, right?
Okay, I'm gonna give it to you. It was shaky. It was the grizzly man.
Okay,
and the villain was the bear. Good
okay.
job.
Well, I got the villain. It's villain trivia. I got the villain. I said
well,
bear.
You got the trivia.
You're not gonna give it to me.
Bonus,
I said the exact word that you were
bonus
looking for.
Point. That was extra credit, but you didn't get it.
Okay.
Next one. The villain may this villain may cause a stampede to run your way. What villain would that be?
May cause a stampede. So the one that I thought of was Scar from The Lion
Correct.
King.
Correct. Scar
yes,
from The Lion King.
That was
King.
Not very nice.
That was brutal.
Yeah. Okay.
The next one is, this villain will throw pumpkins at you. Duck!
throw pumpkins
Who's
at you?
Who's going to throw pumpkins at you?
What's your hint for this one?
They're going to throw pumpkins at you.
That's just the question. That's not a hint.
Who is the villain? What villain will throw pumpkins at you? There's really only one.
All right. I'm going to ask you a question, Carl. And in the question...
Then, oh, boy. Would you just take a guess?
Throwing pumpkins?
You don't know, and I like this.
I don't. I'm trying to think of who throws pumpkins. Home Alone kid?
Did you say punkins or pumpkins?
No, I said pumpkins.
Okay, let's make sure.
See, I'm going to narrow it down. Yeah, Home Alone kid, you've got the band Smashing Pumpkins.
You're way off. I'm just going to say it's wrong. It's the Hobgoblin.
Okay.
Or the Green Goblin from Marvel, from Spider-Man. He will throw exploding pumpkins at you.
Oh, yeah. I was never going to get that one.
Okay.
Okay, 2 out of 3, though.
2 out of 3 is not bad. Yeah. You gotta get one more for the win.
Oh, there's the fourth one.
There's five. As I said before, I have 5 questions.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Welcome to the show. So this villain has an identity issue. Okay. Who should he be today?
What? That's it? That's the question.
What villain has an identity issue and he thinks to himself like, who should I be today?
Who should I be today? I have no idea. No idea.
Two-Face from Batman, okay. Of course. I mean, come on. Two-Face from Batman. Okay. All right. And the final
These are
one.
Terrible.
These are... They're only terrible because you don't know how.
Correct.
Okay. How were the ones you got? Were those good?
Yes.
Okay. The final question. All right. This is for the win or another loss of trivia for the season. This villain has a breathing issue and he hates bats. That's a good hint.
Well, Darth Vader has a breathing issue and Darth Vader's a villain. And I know that he's never been around bats in any of the Star Wars movies.
Are there bats in space?
He's been on land, too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
So
fair point.
Okay. So, correct.
No, incorrect.
Wait, a breathing issue? Are you kidding me?
He's not the one who hates bats.
Hates bats. Breathing issue has got to be...
You're so close. That's a great guess.
It's got to be...
Oh, you want another guess?
Bane. Is it Bane?
How many guesses do you want?
10.
You said Batman, I thought.
I said Bane?
So even though you said Darth Vader, the answer is Bane.
Okay.
I feel like the audience should judge you on this one, though. I don't even know. I mean, you said...
You backpedal your answers all the time.
All right. I'll give you the trivia, though Darth Vader is not correct.
Are you sure you want to give me the first one where I said bear and the correct answer is bear? Are you sure you want to give me that one?
That is sarcasm, and I should mark you down for that. But I'm going to take the higher road, even though you're being a podcast villain right now. So I'll give you the begrudging 3 out of 5 win.
Yeah.
So I hope you're proud of yourself.
Wow.
I hope you guilted your way to a victory there. And
I'm going
to
give you the generous award. You're so generous and giving.
You're a lot about. You're all about awards and grades and you know,
correct.
scores and things. So
yes, 5 points.
Good job. Any tidbits for us tonight or no?
Okay, so I do have one tidbit, my friend.
Oh boy.
Okay. Well, this is our last episode of the year, and this is your last chance to enter for the 57-hour trip giveaway, guided trip giveaway.
It is.
Yeah.
I know.
So just click on the link that we have in the show description, and you could win a guided trip with 57 hours, and yeah.
It's a good deal. It's a great deal. Great tidbit. Thank you.
That's all I got.
All right, B&B family, thank you for listening. We will see you next time. And remember, if you see a Carl on the trail on a motorbike, get your water bottle out and squirt him off it. I want to fly. Around the world. There is another villain that I, you know, thought about. It's the guy who, well, we just call him the shoulder man. And he just simply cannot, you just can't take him anywhere. You can't drive with him. You can't take him to school. You can't take him back. Shoulder, 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 shoulder. So what you want to do with somebody like that is you really just want to trip him or knock him on the ground, squirt him in the face, and just say, stop it. Stop it. And usually they don't, and then that's when you get some new friends.
Through the Blackwater bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp. Alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. From the Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest, me and the Duck Camp Dinner's crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Join Captain Justin Leake and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.